afternoon, and welcome back. This will be the second hour. It'll feel like the first hour, though, because we'll start at the beginning. Oh, boy. Yeah, we're not going to do the second hour like the first hour. How's that? So my name is Erin Ryan.
And my name's Bill, kind of.
Actually, we should probably have fake names on the show. Oh, why? Did I ruin your jam there, Bill?
Yeah, you're jamming me.
Oh,
here.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Lock those little lips up. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, and they are everything John Deere. You can get mowers, tractors, attachments, parts, sales, services, all there. You can also go up and talk to them about Honda Power Products and Steel Power Products. They've got all that in stock and ready to go. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Look at that.
I don't think I ever said what their hours are. It's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
The bank is.
Yeah.
It's just like bank is from the olden days.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Said Bill. All right, so our guest today, we've tortured him terribly. We owe him. We're going to have to send him something. We did 12 episodes with him over the years. No problems. Episode 13, sound problems, can't connect, blah, blah, blah. Episode 14, oh, back to connection hell.
Yep, I was getting ready to string a can and a long string up to Harry and give that a shot.
He's on the forested slopes outside of Vancouver.
That's right. Some good quality string and a couple of bean cans, and I think we would have been in business.
Shoot it up there to Bigfoot and have him run it over. Good. So,
should be an ode to Alexander Graham Bell, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, unsolicited advertisement of the day. Thank God for the phone, huh?
But I don't understand. And here I am. I'm a physicist and a technologist who's worked on a lot of this stuff. How come we are getting the video to work correctly?
Yeah, I know.
Sound won't.
Uh-huh.
That is contrary to all science.
It's the Alexander Graham Bell
the
gods.
The only explanation for that is the sound is going down the wrong pipe somewhere.
Yeah, it's jammed up in there. We need to go down and look for a big ball in the line there somewhere. I think it's
Roto-Rooter.
Yeah.
Whatever line will handle a video signal handle audio like it is absolutely nothing.
Unless you want to do an interview with us. In which case, we suspend all those laws of physics and we rewrite them.
That's right.
Into something annoying and frustrating.
But fear not, because Skylink is almost completed, and we'll be able to, with the help of Elon Musk, go pure satellite anywhere in the world. So,
do I need to point out that he's a South African?
Yeah, there you go.
He actually went to the same school as my kid.
No fooling.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or like 5 years before or something.
Oh.
My son is 35 going on 36. Elon Musk is a little older.
Well, that's kind of cool. You South Africans, you're so busy. You're too busy being.
They have the same school principal, Mr. Sinclair. So.
Wow. Not a lot of people could say that. You listed like five possible, not really topics, but issues, but the Communist University professors, we kind of skipped that part. Give us your spin on the university professor thing, since we have inadvertently mentioned school.
Well, where can a self-respecting communist hang out and have a living?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
In a culture like America, like the United States, a place that was fundamentally founded on, built upon, the principles of earning your keep by the sweat in your brow. Where can a communist, a guy who says, share and share equally, just give me more, where can a guy like that hang out safely?
Well, either NPR or the colleges.
Well, he's going to hang out in the media. He is going to hang out in political circles. He is going to hang out at universities.
Yep, there you go.
All places that don't get many questions.
Funny how that works. Okay.
And so that's where they gravitate to. And that's where they can infect your children.
Is the indoctrination in the schools the same in South Africa?
It didn't used to be, now it is.
But you have this high level of...
The kids are being taught a completely alternative history in which their parents are the bad guys.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense.
Have you noticed that the only group of people on Earth who are subjected to this are white folks of Western European descent, and thereby, you know, America has the same base? You don't have this mental disease with people in Eastern Europe.
No. I just wondered if it was working as well there, only because, you know, they're kind of a wholesale killing on white people there, and I wondered if the children of the farmers...
Well, the whites see it for what it is. They know it's indoctrination.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like in the U.S. where the parents apparently are too thick to realize it.
Yeah, because you really have to wonder about that. You see people going along with all this because it seems, you know, like a kinder, gentler world to let your kids apologize for their...
Like in our organization where we had to sit and hear from some guy who walks in with a suitably black skin and nothing else, how we are innately a problem, but not to worry, they'll teach us how to be good people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you start off that way, you're not going to convince too many people. So... Fortunately, the folks in South Africa saw some of this coming.
God, any hope in sight down there, or is it still going like full blast?
No, I don't. I sent you a little note from my cousin, and they're pretty despondent. And he lives in the good part of the country. I have no idea what that WhatsApp message would have read like if he lived in the east of the country. It would be considerably worse.
Hmm.
Poor guys. And
in a certain sense, South Africa is a bit like the U.S. geographically as well, in that right at the west coast at Cape Town, it's extremely liberal, and then as soon as you go inland from there, very much like you see in your part of the world, the moment you go inland, people become realistic and more conservative. And he lives in that second area, the slightly inland area. Sorry. And then as you move east, you get into stupid land again, and the same happens in the U.S. You know, like you have two idiotic coastlines and some level of flyover rationality in the middle.
That is kind of weird.
And so in their case down there, away from the corporate Cape Town, which sort of plays a game and sounds like a bunch of Dems, in that part of the world, they're still nominally rational, but they're farmers and they're getting killed. You know.
And
nobody
cares. None of that has let up at all, Harry.
I defy you to find a CNN article about 4,000 farmers having been killed in South Africa. Hmm. Doesn't count. They're white. They should just die. Like the good Danish professor said, you should just die.
Wow.
Hmm. So the farmer situation down there from the last time we talked to you has not changed?
No, not really. They kind of... had that one event where they got together in the town of Senegal, and that's not the country Senegal, it's a town called Senegal, named after a Frenchman. And but since then, there's been no effort on the part of the farming community to do anything to thicken their voices or firm their stand or anything, as far as I'm concerned. The thing with our folks, I had a radio interview with Dan Apple a while ago, and he happens to have exposure to the Dutch Reformed folks, church folks in Montana. And he says he recognizes the behavior, because I told him the problem is that the response that these folks have to everything is to have a prayer day.
Yeah.
They get murdered, then they go and have a prayer meeting. They get attacked, they go and have a prayer meeting. Everything, the answer to everything is a prayer meeting. And, I've gone as far as contacting a Dutch Reformed Church minister, asking him about all of this, and he told me, Harry, I will justify it for you from Scripture that that is not the proper Christian thing to do. Okay? You cannot just go and heap everything on God's shoulders and then go home and have coffee. Yeah. So that's my frustration that I have, is that these folks are doing absolutely nothing to improve their socio-political situation. They're just sitting there waiting for the blows to fall, and as the blows get heavier and heavier, they pray more and more. That's what they feel they can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievably frustrating to watch people wait to die.
Yeah.
This is a little bit personal, but, you know, I had to watch my mother die in January. She died from cancer, and I saw a bitter fight for 5 days for the right to die. And it's like I'm watching an entire nation in that state.
Hmm. What's the...
I'm watching the pulse rate go down. I'm watching the oxygenation go down.
Sure.
I'm watching them struggling more and more for a breath.
So in the last year... What are the what's the difference in the amount of land that's being farmed?
The number of farmers is reducing. There used to be something in the vicinity of 80,000 white farmers. There's now more like 35,000.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, bigger corporations have bought out farms. That's true. In some cases, some farms were actually given to some black communities, but they basically go and sit there. They look at the plants. They don't seem to know what to do at all. Then after a while, they chop up the fruit trees for wood, and they, you know, rip the fittings out of the farm buildings, and they go and build their shacks with it. And then everything just reverts basically to a distributed slum.
Right, right.
And nothing comes out of the farm. And so it's just case after case after case after case after case of that,
right,
where the farms are supposedly given to a black community. The community is too stupid to know what to do. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be polite anymore. They are too stupid to know what to do.
So they
revert to what they know to do.
Right.
They steal.
And so...
They revert to what they know how to do. Theft.
Right. And so production
try,
numbers...
You know, that's the way Africa is. It's a zero-sum game. Let's see who can steal from whom. Nobody creates anything. It's just a cyclical theft fest. It is so demoralizing, you know. And they will tell you that themselves, that they can't snap out of it. They just don't understand where money comes from at all. They think it comes from ATMs.
Hmm. How much longer until the famine starts?
I don't know what to tell you on that score. But again, you know, the very same guys who go and have their prayer meetings work harder and harder and harder to produce off those farms so people do not starve to death, because they see it as their Christian duty to produce the food. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm seeing is a little community of decent Christians being completely destroyed while they're doing their best to help their destroyers.
And is the food supply in South Africa, is that still pretty heavily dependent on...
It oscillates, but it's not in as good a shape as it used to be. It's like with everything else, you know, the... For example, got a message this week to say that the central defense acquisition company, the guys who manufactured everything to do with defense, finally gone into receivership. They're bankrupt. They can't do anything anymore. It used to be the basis of South African technology. Whatever Elon Musk might say or think, it was that industry that underpinned his initial successes. So that's gone to hell. The airways, national airline is in permanent trouble. The national electricity utility is in permanent trouble. The roads are busy collapsing. So I don't actually see any glimmer of hope anywhere. The only glimmer of hope is a very cynical one, and that is that the U.S. is taking a bit of a knock, and the South African rand is actually climbing with respect to the U.S. dollar, apparently. So I am told. I haven't checked for myself. I should confirm that before I open my yap, but that's what I was told in the last 24 hours. So I can check that for you. But there's no way that will be a long-term trend. I mean, in the end, it's going to go like Zimbabwe, and they're going to print money, and it's going to be hyperinflation, et cetera, et cetera. Ultimately, the Zulu tribe will turn on the Xhosa tribe, and they will murder each other with gay abandon, and all the other black tribes will hide under the bed because they can't face those two. Okay, and then when it's all said and done, they'll try and find the nearest white man to help them. That's how that's going to pan out.
Wow.
If they can't find him, they will go hat in hand to the world, and then, you know, the typical European and North American bleeding heart is going to give them money. Okay? And it's that kind of idiot that's caused all this trouble in the first place.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like they're dependent on foreign aid.
I am just done with these foreign aid kind of guys. They go to Africa in order to assuage their own conscience for something they didn't do but their grandpappy possibly did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't want to hear about their sense of guilt. They can stuff it for all I care. They can go and massage that gland of theirs elsewhere, because all it causes is misery. Like, stupid little things, you know, like, I go to the mall over here. There's a little Chinese girlie. She's got a bunch of United Nations pamphlets, and she shoves one in my face. And it says their little program is to collect money from idiots like me so they can give every family in Africa a goat. So I told her, go to Google Earth. Look at the southeastern corner of Zimbabwe on that map. It is white. It is white because the vegetation has been destroyed, and the vegetation was destroyed by goats. Do you understand what you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, I keep telling folks, you were asking me about the professors and communists at universities, etc. It's really difficult to find a communist on an American farm. It's difficult,
mm-hmm.
You know. And the reason is simple, is that the farmer understands, you know, that he has to sow something, he has to work at all of this, he has to go and borrow money, he has to buy that damn John Deere if he's got to plow that field, he's got to water all of this thing, he's got to pray it's all going to come up, he's got to harvest it. He knows it takes work, and then he's got to hope that price is still good and he's going to sell all of that stuff. That guy actually knows what a goat does. He probably has a picture of his pet goat standing in the top of a tree. So those things will climb up there to eat the last leaf. Now, I'm just so annoyed at having to tell people this stuff. But I have no difficulty talking to an ordinary Kansas farmer about that. But you cannot talk to a university professor about it.
Well, they had a program, it's been 2-3 years ago now, out of UC Davis, where they were going to take over some state land, and they were going to farm it with high tech and just show these farmers that you didn't have to use all this water and you didn't have to use all these chemicals and you didn't have to, you know, do the, you know, commercial farming like they've done for the last 100 years. And
I can just see Joe Bloggs, the corn farmer, looking at this lot.
Oh, well, they didn't last one season, and they threw the whole program away because they couldn't make anything grow. So, I mean, the intellectuals, yeah, they have some great ideas, but when it gets down to it, it's the guy out there in the field that understands how crops grow and what crops need, and it's not Brando.
absolutely reading my mind.
And you know, that's what's gonna, you know, make plants produce, and you have to make money. And if you don't make any money doing it, why are you doing it? I mean, it's a business like any other business, and there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And unfortunately, it sounds like the folks in South Africa don't have the education to make a large farm work. And aren't willing to, you know, accept the expertise from the people on the ground. And so here we go, you know, buy a goat.
It's much deeper than that, though. You see, there is no... sorry. There's not really a concept in the United States of what... subsistence farming. The closest thing to that you might get is a subsistence existence of here and there a small patch of maybe Indian folks in the west of the country or on the plains somewhere. Here in Canada, it might be some of the First Nations in the way north of Manitoba. Mm-hmm. You know, but the vast bulk of Africa is a subsistence society. It is not one where you grow food for public consumption. That's not the purpose of it. That's not the impetus behind it. And they just do the stuff they've done the way they've done it for the past 1,000 years. And it's only for the last 100 years that these strange creatures called white guys kind of intruded into that world and started coming along with all these funny things like tractors and you know, bags of seed and stuff like that. It was all newfangled stuff. And so you give those folks a functional farm, like they were given the biggest citrus estate on the planet Earth, called the Zebedile Estate in South Africa. Okay? Completely collapsed. They went from biggest citrus estate to zip.
Wow.
It takes some doing to achieve that. That is not lack of education. That is cultural.
Right.
It's because the people are the way the people are. It is because they were raised like that by their fathers and their mothers. It is what they know.
So cultural doesn't mean cheese and wine.
It doesn't. That's my comment. You know, you can imagine my reaction to this professor. To me, a cultural difference is people, you know, here's the best example. A couple of years ago, a elected representative of the ANC government in one of the provinces got upset, and she got up and asked, why is the lightning only hitting black people? She wants the national research body to investigate why the lightning is hitting only black people. And then she added, she wants them to find out what it is that the lightning wants.
Holy cow.
Wow. That's gotta worry you just a little bit.
Tell me that bit about education again that you were asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's working out great.
You got it. There's the calibration you need to understand.
No kidding. Let's take a little break here. We jammed all of our breaks into one break. We're just changing everything today. So we're just going to take one big fat break at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll come back. And I found a little clip from the cult classic Idiocracy when we come back that will explain exactly what the thought process is on the farming in South Africa if you made it into a movie that was supposed to be funny, not prophecy.
Yeah, as it turned out to be.
Unfortunately, it's turned out to be somewhat prophetic. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Booyans, and you are listening to We the People. You can find us, just in case you want to send us hate mail for today, at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Oh, you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
What the hell is this? Tastes like Gatorade.
Is that that Brondo stuff?
They're watering crops with a sports drink?
Brondo the Thirst Mutilator had come to replace water virtually everywhere. Water, the basic component of all life, had been deemed a threat to Brondo's profit margin. The solution came during the budget crisis of 2330. When the Brondo Corporation simply bought the FDA and the FCC, enabling them to say, do, and sell anything they wanted. Joe didn't know any of this, but he did see a problem that he might actually be able to solve. With his options running out, Joe took a bold step. He would not get out of the way. This time, he would lead.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
The Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look. The plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Oh, well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Okay, look, you want to solve this problem. I want to get my pardon, so why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brondo.
Yeah, but why did they use them to make Brondo?
Because Brondo's got electrolytes.
After several hours, Joe finally gave up on logic and reason and simply told the cabinet that he could talk to plants and that they wanted water. He made believers out of everyone. Joe didn't know it, but the beloved electrolytes were salts that had been building up in the topsoil over the decades.
That's circular logic at its finest right there.
Harry, I don't know if you've seen Idiocracy, but
but I heard that a little bit.
Yeah, that, does that sound familiar?
That's way too advanced for what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
Well, look, I visited Hawaii a few years ago. And then in passing, I chatted to one guy who was a businessman from California. And the guy blew up at me because I tried to explain to him, when you have a continent full of people who have a subsistence living, you cannot talk about unemployment. say, imagine that there's this island, and everybody just grows and eats coconuts, and that's their whole life. What the hell is the meaning of unemployment, right? Because the unemployment is either zero or it's 100%. I don't know which one of the two, but it's a meaningless concept. So him ranting at me about high unemployment and how unfair it is to the poor, unemployed black people, and I'm telling him, but, you know, a major percentage of them are living a subsistence life the way their fathers and grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers and, you know, ninth great-grandfather did. And he can't get his head around it. He just does not understand that. For him, the world must look like New Jersey, I guess. And I doubt whether he's ever been to the rural part of New Jersey as I have.
It's we're seeing this kind of everywhere. I mean, we're looking up here. Actually, you know, between your house and ours, we're looking at supposedly drought, but the river has tons of water, but the farmers aren't allowed to use it because supposedly it has to be in there for the fish, but it's not helping the fish. But
of
we're still going to wait.
And for people like Nancy Pelosi, whose drink water comes out of places like that.
Yeah, but we're still going to waste it. And then when they start talking about, well, we should be using it for agriculture, then they're also releasing the water out of our dams, bypassing the hydro facilities.
Of course.
So we're not getting any energy out of it. We're not utilizing it to grow any food. We're just going to flush it out to the ocean.
Okay. And that is how we end up in Vancouver with, you know, I get 2,175 millimeters of rain a year at my place.
Wow.
I swear to you, unless you wash it, it grows mold. Okay? It grows mold.
Mm.
My vertical windows will go green if I don't clean them. Okay? But we actually have water restrictions in summer.
Oh, my God. And you get 2,000 inches of rain?
No.
What did you say?
I think it's about 7'6". Oh, so I told people if the ground were level and the water didn't run away, I would drown because I'm not 6 foot.
God, that's unbelievable.
Well, I think if they just managed it properly, I think we would.
It's not managed. You know, they have a couple of dams up here, and then they keep the water clean, etc. And despite God's most bountiful rain, we've got water restrictions in summer. You can only water your lawn certain days.
Isn't that crazy? Well, I was looking at your little short list for today, and before we leave the issue of farming, but the Black Lives Matter guys, they want land taken from white U.S. farmers and given to blacks.
Sure.
Which is exactly what they
now,
did in South Africa.
I sent you that link, and now you can see it has arrived in the United States. It's now a Black Lives Matter person who said that farms ought to be taken from white farmers and given to black people as reparation for slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a precursor to that is they're already giving black farmers subsidies that aren't available to white farmers.
Yes, I saw that one as well.
Everything's based on race now.
And if it was done in the reverse, we would all be pilloried.
Yeah. So my comment to you is, it's not the black folks who are to blame for this.
No.
In my mind.
No, not at all.
It's mentally ill white folks who are coming up with this garbage. That's the source of it, and they feed it to gullible black folks who make a fertile ground for this stuff. Okay? It's just like in South Africa. A lot of this stuff is coming out of the little bevy of white communists at the heart of the ANC government. None of whom have a long history in South Africa. They were all sort of latter-day immigrants from Lithuania and the sort of ancillary Soviet countries. So it's not as though they care one royal damn for Afrikaners or the history of the country. They just don't care.
What's it going to take, Harry, to get things turned around? I mean, what do you, or is it even possible at this point? Because I think we're going to be in this situation ourselves, and we're going to have to turn it around. What do you see in South Africa as a possible turning point?
The only way in South Africa, I don't see, well, okay, let me put it this way. I guess there's always hope. Hope that there will ultimately, among the black folks who have the total hegemony in the country, there's always hope that they realize that this ANC government and its insane communist ideas are impoverishing everybody. It's not working for anybody. We're all getting to be equally poor, etc., etc., that the whites haven't got enough left to steal from them, you know. That's basically it. That, you know, you're getting to the point where, the, as my cousin said, there's nothing left to steal. So maybe ultimately it gets to the point where there truly is nothing left to steal except to start for the thieves to start stealing from one another. And they've been stealing from a stupid populace. They've been stealing openly from white folks with the blessing of the world. But there's not much left to steal. So ultimately, when that well of theft runs dry, that somebody will say, hey, here's a novel thought. How about we start over and see if we can do this without stealing? How about we actually really grow some stuff and build some stuff and make some stuff? Gee whiz, oh, is that how an economy works? You mean money doesn't come out of an ATM where only white people get it with little plastic cards? Okay, so that they wake up eventually and see that that's the situation. I don't think there's going to be enough rational people left alive by then. And so for that reason, since I have no faith that such a magic awakening will happen by itself organically amongst the black population of South Africa, there's just too many of them who are too uneducated, who are too poor and who find it too easy to just steal. So I don't think it's a self-correcting curve there.
Mm.
Yeah, there are some theorists who will tell you that that's how it will ultimately end. But I think everybody I care for will be dead before that happens. Therefore, there's only one rational solution left in South Africa, and that is for those who care anything for the principles of Western society to get the hell out of the East and move west, where at this point they can still, if they're east of that magic line I have talked to you guys about before, runs more or less along the Fish River of South Africa, and then going north to the border of Botswana at a place, I forget its name now, doesn't matter, near Kuruma, go through that part of the world. West of that line, the so-called colored folks of South Africa and the white folks together make the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And they should, ultimately, as far as I'm concerned, they need to secede. I believe they can create a very nice Western democratic country there with proper voting rights for everybody, no racism, none of that stuff. But they have to show the guts to actually move. And I'm sorry to have to report that I do not believe they have the guts.
Yeah.
People don't want to up and move. So I guess they have to hurt more and more will have to die before the conclusion is inevitable.
Yeah, as with anything, I think it has to reach that breaking point. For
how
the majority.
Many of their children must die? How many of their parents must die? How many of them must have their wives beaten up and raped? How many of them, you know, I can keep on making the list. What will it take for them to move? It was interesting to me. I had a client back in South Africa around 1995, and he lived in Johannesburg. Rich guy, actually owned a gold mine, seriously. And one day he's car was stolen with his briefcase inside, and he started getting threatening phone calls from the guys who had obviously got his car in his case. And He went and bought himself a Toyota Corolla instead of the Mercedes 500 SEC or whatever that he had. And he took his Corolla and simply relocated to Cape Town. And he said, I've had enough. It's obvious what's going to happen. So, you know, gold mine and all. He just gave up on all of that and he just moved.
Wow.
So, but yeah, he's a rich guy. Now you take my family, you know, I got an aunt living in the East. I got two cousins living in the East of the country still. It's not going to be that easy for them.
Can they
and
leave?
For the farmers, it's going to be near impossible. You want to ask a Kansas farmer to give up his farm and move to Rhode Island?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you had said that they couldn't get out, really, of the country.
Yeah.
What's the status of that?
Well, that's the point, is that I think even if a lot of people could get out of the country, you cannot make a strategic plan for the survival of a nation by assuming everybody's going to emigrate.
Right.
It's just not, it's not numerically feasible, it's not financially feasible, it's not strategically feasible. So the only hope that I see that is, to my mind, pragmatic is vote with your feet, you idiots. Get in your car. Even if you have to kiss your damned home goodbye or sell it for a sixpenny heap. Get out of there. And get out of there now.
Yeah.
But they won't, you know. So that's South Africa. So I actually can see how it can work out in South Africa by people literally relocating to the West and then hopefully with support of thinking people in the West secede and draw a line where they can, you know, can reestablish themselves behind. But the experiment called South Africa has been a wasted effort for 150 years. That's clear. Because it's round about the 1850s that you can seriously say that that eastern half of the country was developed. It's now going for 170 years. It means kissing 170 years goodbye along with many generations of family effort and everything and all of the economics built up in the east of the country. It will certainly guaranteed go to hell under that government. You don't have to worry about that.
Wow.
Just watch. It will collapse. So, but they need to get out of there. They need to get out of there now.
Yeah,
and,
life, you know, life's
maybe
too...
Maybe 2% of them can emigrate, but it's never going to be more than 5%.
Right, right. Yeah, life is too precious. And, you know, as bad as things are getting in this country, it's not even close to what's happening in South Africa. So it kind of paints a picture of what we're more than likely going to go through before any big change happens here, because people are people everywhere, and the response will probably be very similar here.
Here's the thing. In the United States, it is so powerful. Its economy is so huge, and its people so collectively insulated from the realities of the world outside its borders that you can vote in a left-leaning government, you can vote in a right-leaning government, you can do all of those things and go about your normal life with some frustration but not too much imposition.
Right.
But the consequences of changing those governments are horrendous outside the borders of your country. They're horrendous. Look at Israel. Okay?
Yeah.
Look at how Israel struggled under Obama. It's like Obama made war on Bibi Netanyahu. It's quite obvious. And then Trump gets voted in, Israel's okay. Then Trump gets voted out, now Israel's not okay.
Well, and
you know, it has profound consequences outside. So you're shielded to some degree from these realities, but but other people are not. And the most sensitive canary in the most violent coal mine is South Africa.
Yeah, you would think...
And that canary is basically already lying fluttering on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's consequences for you guys. And you see these effects. But it's not as though when you now drive to get to your house that you have to worry about whether anybody has sprinkled nails on the road and they're going to attack you, steal your car, possibly... you know, assault you guys.
Well, if you live in some of our larger cities, I think we're headed that direction. I mean, good grief.
But my cousin has, you know. You've got farmers around you. They got all kinds of things they can moan about the water regulations, about how things are doing, what they're allowed, not allowed to do, the EPA, et cetera, et cetera. They can have long discussions about wolves' rights being greater than farmers' rights, etc., etc. I hear all of that stuff, okay? But it's chicken feet compared with, am I going to be alive tomorrow morning in the Northern Free State of South Africa?
Yeah.
Are we going to be attacked tonight? Is this the night that we die?
Yeah, and in our bigger cities, that is a that's becoming a very, very common concern. Very common. You look at Chicago. We have a guy that we'd interviewed for a number of years. He's a national security guy. Lived there his entire life, and just said, "That's it. I got to get out of here." He was a black belt in karate. Traveled all over the world. Been in all sorts of wars. I mean, this guy had the credentials to take care of himself. And he said, "You know, you can't even plan on taking care of yourself because you'll get ambushed or hit with a stray bullet, or they'll, you know, light your apartment on fire." I guess when they were having the riots there in Chicago, they lit the store underneath where he lived on fire. He said, you know, being able to defend yourself is kind of a non-starter anymore.
Well, so we get back to Bull's basic question is, so what do you do? I wanted to just explain that there is a solution for South Africa, but it's a painful one, and people are going to have to just swallow and do it, you know. For the United States, you're not that far down the hole yet. You're heading there, you're not that far down the hole yet. And you are protected from some of the stuff that's happening in South Africa. You're inherently protected by sheer power and size. But, guys, this kind of shadow government that you folks have, that nobody can tell who the hell it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can suspect and you can say, oh, it's Obama via Susan Rice or whatever. I hear all of these things. I do not for one minute trust the results of the last election, and I'm not an American, so, you know, people who get upset at me saying that can carry on and being upset. I'll repeat that. I do not accept that answer. I do not trust it because it doesn't make any mathematical sense whatsoever. So, and that's why. But you are going to have to start playing, and now I'm talking about Republicans, are going to have to learn to play as dirty as what the Democrats do, because they play dirty. Very, very, very dirty. Okay.
Well, they also understand the long game way better than the conservatives do.
And not to just assume it.
I think you'll note that for me, watching the Republicans try to fight against Democrats is like watching the U.S. National Guard guys trying to fight Russian special forces. You know, I've met people of both kinds of ilk.
Well, it's kind of like a regular boxing versus like MMA fighting.
Yeah,
it's kind of how it turns out. You know, it's like, uh-oh, a regular boxer finds himself in an octagon with a barefooted guy and keeps kicking him in the legs. It's like, wait a second, you're not supposed to do that.
You know, this is political warfare.
Yeah, it is.
And the guys who are now in command are masters at this, and they're masters of dirty play, and they control the media, etc.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing Republicans complain about how the media is this, that, and the other. Well, then put your money together and bloody well buy it.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, the other thing to really point out to people is this doesn't come to a good end, and you can verify that. They don't just go, they don't go part of the way and then stop. This is a train to nowhere, and we're on it. And South Africa is just farther down the tracks.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
South Africa is farther down the tracks, and if ever you have confusion as to where this leads,
yeah,
you take a look at South Africa. That is why I'm on record as saying, $1,500 gets you a ticket to South Africa. You can go and see where you're headed.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you, Harry.
Harry, thanks for coming on. Sorry about all the technical issues.
Thanks for the second hour.
I will figure it out eventually.
Yeah.
God bless you. All right, you've been listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.